Okay, well, let's just get right into it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, like, I was kind of thinking about it, and I'm thinking to myself, I remember when I was a student at Rhema, and Brother Keith was teaching this class on submission and authority. And so we met 3 days a week, and for 2 weeks, there was like six classes. Every day he said, okay, we're still talking about submission and authority. And I thought to myself, if he teaches on this one more day, I'm going to spit, you know, because that's just like, it was so much. It was like more than I could bear, I thought. But, you know, thank God for the word, because the word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And as we hear God's word, we grow up, we mature, and everything we hear doesn't always feel good to us. Amen. But it's good for us. It's like vegetables. We don't like a lot of them, but they have a certain purpose. And every vegetable that has every different color, if you look it up, it has a different type of vitamin in it that helps to support your body and your immune system.
Amen.
And that's just like the word of God. And when we hear things in God's word that doesn't make us feel all that great, it's just another vegetable that you need so you can grow up and be spiritually mature. Amen?
Amen.
So the more vegetables you eat, the better you feel. The less vegetables you eat, the worse you feel. So we need to fill our plate up with more vegetables so that our body can be clean and wash out all the impurities that don't help us to be what God would have us to be. Amen?
Amen.
So I entitled this message, Marriage Isn't for Cowards, and Neither is Parenting. And, you know, marriage can be fun, and marriage can be sad. But it depends on the person that you pick. And a lot of times, you know, we watch things on TV, and we see, you know, several months ago, there was the royal wedding and all this hoopla in front of it and everything that was happening, you know, where they were getting married, the dress she was going to wear, you know, the clothes, the tiara, the this, the that, and all. But you know something that the media didn't tell you? And I was just Googling something else, and I happened to find this. Because in society now, it's like we don't like rules. You know, everybody got their right. They can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. They can go where they want to go. They can dress the way they want to dress. But there are rules. And if you don't learn to live by those rules and abide by those rules, then eventually things are going to happen. But when this young lady decided she would accept the proposal of one of the princes, there were rules that came with that. And it's just like with marriage. You don't want to talk about it because you think you're free. You can do whatever you want to do. You can pick whoever you want to pick. But let's look at some of the rules that she had. If she wanted to marry the prince, the first most important rule was she could no longer vote. Can you believe that? She cannot cast her vote in any election or anything. And not only can she not cast her vote, she cannot give an opinion. She couldn't live in the United States anymore, could she? Because when you look at her history, she had an opinion. She spoke out and she talked about everything. No more. She's a prince now. She's a princess. She cannot give an opinion.
Oh, my.
I mean, like, this is not even in the Bible. This is like what they're doing over there in England. She can't give an opinion. She can't vote. She can't give an opinion. It talks about how she was in acting and different things, and she liked to get her nails done. I'm going to... Excuse me. I felt it coming, and I couldn't stop it. There's another one, too. Okay. It is. You know how you can feel that little tickle? And so... They normally come in threes. One more. It'll be in a minute. Anyway. So... She can't vote, and it says that she can no longer get her eyelashes done.
What?
Yes. She can't wear loud color fingernail polish. Hello? This is what happened when she married the prince. Now, this one would have hurt me really bad. She cannot have shellfish. Because I know. What's up with that? She can't help, have shellfish because, yes, I guess I better drink this. That's the devil. That's what it is. It's the devil. Okay, let's try this again. She cannot have shellfish because they said shellfish sometimes carries airborne diseases and she can't afford to be sick. She doesn't have time to be sick. Now, then the queen doesn't like garlic. Can you imagine that? Who doesn't like garlic? The queen. She doesn't like garlic, so nothing is prepared with garlic. They can't have it. This is what happened when she married the prince. This kind of happened to me the last time. I take authority over this in the name of Jesus. I have a mission. Okay. She can't have garlic because the queen banished garlic. And also, when the queen feels like dinner is over, she takes her purse and places it on the table, and they start removing all the plates. When the queen says you're done, you're done. Can you imagine that?
Yep.
Okay. So whenever she travels, she has to travel with a little black dress. Because when the queen was younger, she went abroad. Her father passed away. And she came back and she didn't have a black dress. So when she got off the plane, she wasn't dressed appropriate for mourning. So she must always travel with a little black dress for any official occasion. Then the next thing, she must have the appropriate headwear for after evening. So in the daytime events, she's good. But at night, in the afternoon, royals are supposed to wear hats or tiaras. She cannot show any public display of affection to her husband in public. No kissing, no holding hands, no touching, no nothing. This is the princess. Yes. Rules, people. I'm telling you, there are rules. Okay. And she also, because she was in the public eye, she had fans, so she would give her autographs. She would take selfies with people. And she cannot turn her face to people. She must always be in, contact with them, looking at them head on. So she cannot take a selfie with anybody. She can't take a selfie of herself. She cannot give her signature anymore because somebody might steal her penmanship and forge her name on something. Who thinks of this? But you know, people do that. That's why they made it a rule. No hugging. She doesn't touch people or anything. And then I read that Princess Diana, they tell them to carry clutch purses because Meghan liked to carry those big tote purses. You know how us Americans are. And so they don't want her carrying big tote purses because if she carries a little clutch purse, she keeps her hand on her purse. And then that way she's not able to shake hands with people. This is a well thought out plan, people. And then if she has a dress on that could seemingly have a low cut, she could always brace herself with that little purse. Look, they thought of everything. Rules. Okay, just a few more here. And then she can't wear wedge heels. She had to have spike heels, pumps, because the queen does not like wedge heels. Imagine that. And she should always have a pair of beige heels or a pair of black heels. How about that? Rules. I'm getting to something. Okay, and also, this is important. They line up everywhere they go, and they walk in according to their place on the throne. So she and Harry will never be walking in front of William and his wife or the queen. They all walk in a certain line. They all sit in a certain place. They all have their place. Amen? And so then one of the most important things, too, is when they go out, she can no longer cross her legs because it's considered not to have etiquette. And if the cameraman is positioned a certain way, it could not be a nice picture. So she has to sit with her legs slanted or if she crosses them, she has to cross them at the ankle. Guess what? She lives by that. And she's not even mad about it. So what more do we do with God's word?
Yeah, amen.
I mean, it's here, clean and simple. And the rules that he has given us, or the way of life that he has given us to live, we can eat all the garlic we want. You know, we can have all the shellfish we want. God forbid I couldn't have crabs or shrimp or lobsters or crawfish. I would be very sad.
Amen.
And I really like garlic. It just helps the food be delish. So, I mean, like, who does this? But it does. So the world, you know, you think, oh, I want to be her. I want to live like her. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Well, those were just 10 of 10 things that they talked about. Can you imagine the list of things that she can and cannot do and she has to do and she doesn't have a choice? But God gives us a choice in his word. He makes it so plain. He makes it so simple. It's so easy for us. And the reason why it's such a challenge for us a lot of times to do the word is because we don't read the word. We don't spend time in the word. We don't know the word. So when you hear it, it sounds foreign to you. It sounds like some rule that you can't imagine yourself doing, like me thinking I could never have shrimp or crab or crawfish or something. I'm like, that ain't the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. But you know, they made their own rules. So, but you know, the word of God does say too that, you know, render unto Caesar what's his, the offerings, the tax, all this. And so the rules and the laws that they make up, even though it may not be in our Bible, that's the way they live. And if you live there, you need to live by that way. But you know what? We live in the United States, land of the free, home of the brave. We have freedom of speech and freedom of this and that. But it seemed like we can't stay in our own lane because, you know, when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the first verse, it says, now concerning these things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. That sounds so simple, but it's like for some reason, some men think they need more than one wife or more than one woman. You can only love one woman at a time. And you know what? The same thing with women. Some women think they need more than one man. They just need to try to be with every person they see. But God said that you need to have your own husband. You need to have your own wife and abide there. And you know, you can't be married to somebody else wishing you were with someone else.
Amen.
You can't be married to some woman and thinking that, well, you know, I just took her on, but I wish I had such and such. No, you don't take on one and wish you had another. And that's why it's so important to get to know the person that you're going to marry before you marry them, because you just jump into it and you don't know what you married. And you thought, man, if I would have known this, I would have done something different.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, it takes a little time to know people. And even once you get married, you think you spent all that time with that person and you know them so much, but you still don't know them.
Yeah, that's good.
You don't know them. You don't know what you married. Mm-hmm. You know, like they always put their best foot forward. I was talking to Pastor and I asked him something. I don't remember what the question was. And I go, well, you didn't feel like that when we were dating or something. He goes, well, I didn't know you well enough to know you would do that. You know, and I'm like, well, I guess that's true. But, you know, it's like you come from different parts of the world and even different families. It doesn't matter if you marry someone in your own race. You still do different things. Your family did different things. You live different. You ate different.
Right.
You fellowship different.
Yeah.
You show love of languages different. You know, you eat different foods. You know, you think, why would you eat that? You like that. I don't like that. I don't want that. You think, well, we ate that all the time. We did. That's just what we did. Oh, no, we ain't never eaten nothing like that. You know, you married somebody that grew up in the country versus somebody that grew up in the city. They don't know nothing about eggs from the chicken coop. you know, they just know about going to the grocery store, buying them little eggs that's washed out, that, you know, that this just look like nothing. You think you crack the egg and you think, what's the matter with this egg? This egg is sick. We can't eat it. You know, and then the city boy crack a egg from the country. There's something wrong with this egg. I ain't never seen no egg like this before. You know, that's just a difference in where you've grown up and what you've done. So it's like the word. It's like when the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. You know, when you go and marry somebody that, or start dating somebody that go to church. That's all they do is go to church. But they don't have a relationship with God. And then you guys just fall madly in love and you get married. And they just went to church, but you are used to having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Then you see, now there comes clashing because that person don't want to go to church. That person don't want to have a relationship with God. That person, talk about tithing, giving money to the church. We met an individual one day and we were just talking to him. We were doing some business and we're, you know, saying, okay, blah, blah, blah. What do you do? And he's telling us and like, oh my gosh, this guy has a little money. So it's like, do you have children? Yeah. He didn't want to talk about the children. So finally, person said, well, one child lives such and such, and he's just, I don't even talk to him, he's just whatever. And then he said, and the other child, he goes, I don't give him nothing, because if I do, he give all his money to the church. And we just looked at each other, we didn't say, but you could tell, I mean, where his thought was about money and what he had nothing to do with giving and serving God. So when you find a wife or you find a husband that you want to marry, you want to be with, you need to make sure just because they have money and just because they're all dressed up and they might drive a fine car, they might be saying all the right things, but that might not be the one.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, just because she came in all souped up and dressed up, you know what? What it took to get her, it's going to take that to keep her. You know, if she ain't wearing stuff from Kmart, don't be thinking when y'all get married, she's going to be doing the blue light special. It's not going to happen. And when you start talking about, I didn't know you had to, where did you think it was coming from? It didn't just happen by osmosis. You know, if she was wearing fine threads when you met her, and every time you saw her, she had on a new pair of shoes, jet, hello, Captain, ring, ring. Somebody, let's all work together here. You decided you wanted to marry her and take her away from her daddy. Guess what? He said, thank you very much. He said, now you get to foot the bill. And you don't get to say, oh, we're not living like that no more. No, this is what you married. This is what you were attracted to. You need to be able to fix this. Amen?
Amen.
And if you were just eating and cooking and making all this stuff, and then you get married and say, well, you know, let's go out. And it's like, let's get some home cooking. Well, that was my mama cooking all the time. No, no, Captain. We can't be eating Popeyes every day and Taco Bell.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're not doing mac and cheese out of the box. And no, somebody got to be doing some cooking lessons or something. You know, I mean, because after a while, when all the fanfare is over, you get to live real life and you get to spend time with each other. I remember when we first got married, you know, we lived in this little apartment and, you know, I'm trying to be the little domestic wife and, oh, God, help us all. And so anyway, I was doing the laundry, right? And so one day, Pastor gets up and he goes, I don't have any socks. What'd you do with my socks? Where are my socks? And I said, well, I washed everything that was in the dirty clothes. I don't know. What'd you do with your socks? And we're looking and come to find out when he would go to bed every night, he would take his socks off, roll them up in a ball and slide them up under the bed. So we found these socks in the bed. I said, listen, Hazel is not here. If you want those socks washed, they are going to have to go into the dirty clothes hamper. That's where I will be looking for the dirty clothes, not underneath the bed. You know, I mean, just differences. He liked to go to bed with his socks on and in the middle of the night take them off and put them under the thing. You know, who has time to be looking all over the house for socks and dirty clothes? Dirty clothes hamper. You know, but people are used to different things. You know, now he does the laundry. This is good. 35 years, you know, you get that. But you see, different things happen with different people. Happy marriages don't just happen by themselves. They happen because you work at them. They happen because you have a disagreement. And, you know, we learn to disagree without being disagreeable. You may not like everything I say. You're not going to like everything I say. But that doesn't mean we got to get a divorce. I don't like everything you say either. You know, if the two of us were alike, why did we need each other? I mean, the differences make the whole, because the things that lack in me, he has. And the things that he lack, I have. It's like, okay, so when we went to Dallas and the lady was giving out those little $25 gift cards and she called me back. And then when I got back, he goes, "What is it?" And I said, "I'm not telling you." He said, "Tell me what it is." I was like, "No, I'm not telling you." And he kept asking. I said, "No, I'm not telling you. They only gave it to nice people and you're not a nice person, so you can't have them." So he looks at me. He says, "Give me that thing." And he takes it out of my hand. "Let me see what this is. $25. I didn't get one." I said, "It's because you weren't nice." He says, "Give me that thing, girl. You won't even know where it is." That's true. I lose money. I don't do it on purpose. I put it in a safe place. And then when it's time for me to find that safe place, I don't remember what safe place I put it in. And I'm just looking and looking and looking. And I go cleaning up stuff and putting stuff away. I change your purse. I find $20, $50. Man, I'm feeling like I've won the lottery. I forgot I put it there. I'm looking for stuff. I could be looking for stuff for weeks, not knowing. I had something one time that I had bought and Debbie had it. And I thought I had put it away. I looked for that thing for like weeks. And one day she showed up. She goes, "Hey, I upped your thing. You forgot," and blah, blah, blah. I thought I had it at home. She had. I forget. So when he said, "Give me that gift," I said, "You know, you're right. I don't even know where it is. He took it. Because if I had to keep it, it would not be good." We were out of town and we're having a buyer seminar this week at the nursing home where my mom is. And I said, "Babe, you know that paper that has blah, 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 these little things?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know where it is? Because I know I have it, but you ask me where it is? I don't know." He goes, "Yeah, it's in my desk in the second drawer in a file that's labeled home buyers, blah, blah, blah." I get on the phone. I call the admin of our office. I said, "Listen, Miss Teresa," I said, "I need you to do something for him." She goes, "What you need?" I said, "Go into my office, look at my husband's desk, and that second drawer, there's a file, blah, 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 blah. You know, look in there." He says, "It's not the top one, but it's this, it's marked." She goes in there and she goes, "I can't find it." I said, "Look, because if he says it's there, it's there." All of a sudden she goes, "I got it." She had it. I have that same piece of paper. I don't know where it is. I mean, like, we, you know, you compliment each other. You got to find somebody that's going to compliment you. And you can't just be with somebody and marrying people because you think you see something you like. I mean, I know my limitations. And so because I know my limitations, what I can do, what I can't do, what I won't do, whatever, I don't try to be like him. I just let him do his thing. Because, you know what, if I try to be like him, I would set myself up for failure. And if he tried to do the things that I do, he'd set himself up for failure. But why'd you do that? That's not the way you do. You do this, you blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you marry somebody that's going to compliment what you have. You can't just get, like, at the point where you're so desperate that you think you just take any old thing. You know, Mariah reminded me of something the other day, and I said, she reminded me of something I would say all the time, and I'd say, "Nobody wants to date a virgin, but everybody wants to marry one." You go out with these guys and you go out with these girls and you hear all kinds of things. You know what? If you lay with them, they'll be happy. But you know what? You know who they want to take home to their mom? Something fresh, something clean that ain't nobody been with. Think about it. I tell my daughter all the time, I say, baby, you lay down with dogs, you come up with fleas. You got to watch who you hang around. You have to watch who you're with. Because if you don't, eventually it's going to come back on you. You got to make a decision that who you're with and who you decide to be with. Because when it starts not to be good, then you want to jump ship. But guess what? You got to read the script. You got to see what the script said. You got to go back to the script. Because if you made that choice, now it's time to make it work. And you know what? There's going to be difficulties. Things are going to happen. But you got to say in your mind, you know what? We're in this for the long haul. And we're going to make this work. And you start doing things together and developing relationships. Because you know what? We used to say this all the time. One of these days, our children will grow up and be out of the house. It seemed like that day was never going to come. I mean, it was like, I promise you, it was like an ever-ending thing. It seemed like it was something all the time. There was always an issue. Somebody had something. Somebody needed something. We had to take money from here, here, do this, do that. Somebody, blah, 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 blah. But one day, they all went away. They did. And Brittany, the youngest one, she used to say, I hate this house. I just hate being here. I can't wait till I just grow up and move out and get my own place. I hate living here. I just got to get my own place. And now she calls and says, you know, I wish I could move back home. I said, no, no, no. Remember when you hated this place and you wanted to move? I said, you got your wish. I said, there is no coming back. Yes. Yes, you can visit for a very short while, but you need a round trip ticket. You cannot stay. This is not the way it was designed. God used us as his people to raise them and teach them to move on and to go on and to mature and become respectable, responsible adults. That they could operate in this world the right way and do the right thing and you not have to bail them out every time you turn around.
Yeah.
Because you know what? When you keep bailing them out, then one day when you get old and you need somebody to take care of you, you're not going to have any money and they're not going to come and take care of you. Because you haven't trained them to be responsible adults. When you say, oh, my children come first, if you don't train them to be responsible adults, they just keep taking. And you know, this is what society has trained them, that we owe them everything. I mean, everything is not a free ride. And you know, I remember Brother Leroy Thompson used to say, when he was doing, the Lord first gave him Money Cometh. And so he made all these books and CDs, tapes and whatever. He wouldn't give them away. He said, because when you give them away, they don't read them. The books, when you give them away, the cassette tapes, they don't listen to them. When you give them the videos, they don't watch them. But if they purchase them, they spent their money on it. So they're going to listen to them. They're going to read the books. They're going to watch the videos because they don't want to waste their money. Don't you know when you buy your children things over and over again, they don't care about it. But when you say, oh, you want that? Okay, how much money do you have in your pocket? Or how much money do you have in your bank? They go, well, I don't want to spend my money. If I spend my money, I won't have it. Okay, then you don't want it. But you know what? When they spend their own money, they act like they paid gold. They act like they lost something. They buy their own clothes. Guess what? You don't see them balled up everywhere. If you do, that's okay. It's their money. But when you buy it, they don't care anything about it. If we don't teach them responsibility now, guess what? One day they're going to be adults. They're going to live in this country, in this world, and they're going to be waiting for somebody to give them something. They think they're living in the time of Robin Hood, take from the rich and give to the poor. No, 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 Captain, you're not taking from the rich and giving to the poor. The Bible says the poor you'll have with you always. And if the poor is going to be with you always, if we give everything to the poor, then we're not going to have nothing. That when the poor really needs something, nobody will have anything to give to anybody. So we don't teach them to be responsible adults. And it starts when they're small. It starts when... So, I mean, we have to do something about this now. Because if we don't do something about it now, then it's going to always be something different. It sounds like...
Oh, there we go.
But if we don't do something about this now, then nothing's going to change in our society. You know, we're going to always be marching and rallying for something, and it's like we're recycling it. And we can't keep recycling it. We got to stay with God's word here. If we just keep reading, if we just keep reading the scripture, because I like what it says here. Let me get to Ephesians 5. Okay, I kind of got off my notes, but it's okay. 5:1. Let's see what that says. Let me get to that. No, that's not what I want. Okay, so let's go here, because let's go to Ephesians 5:22, I think. Yeah. Talking about the wives and the husbands submitting themselves. Because you know what? Our children are watching us. And the example that we are, what we do, is what they will live. And so when we submit ourselves to God and allow God to be Jesus and Lord of our lives, they learn to do that and they stop depending on other people. They stop depending on other people to meet their needs and do the things that need to happen in their lives, because they saw the example of this. Look, Ephesians 5:22, it says... Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Amen? And he said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I said, you know what? Sometimes it seems hard, but I think... like, we have the easiest part, because it says that we just need to submit ourselves to our husband as unto the Lord, because he's the head of the wife. But then look what he says to the husband. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself of a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I mean, he just goes on down the line with all this information and stuff that needs to happen. And, you know, I always say, when we submit ourselves to them, even when we know that there's some, like, this is not the best decision that should happen, but that's okay, because you're going to get in trouble with God, so you better figure it out. And we just pray. Because you know what? We need to be in a place where we're praying and believing God for mercy, because we already see ahead. But you know what? You get to a place where you learn to say, okay, that didn't work the last time. I probably will not do this. She's probably right, but, you know, I don't want her to think I know that she's right. So I'll figure out a way to make this happen without letting, who cares? Just do it. Because guess what? Our children are watching us. And as they watch us, this is what they do. So we wonder why they have learned to be so cunning and so trickery and know how to do these things, because they've watched it in the home. And you like to say, well, I would never do that in my house. Maybe you didn't, but they saw something else and they put their spin on it and they made it be their own. And so, you know, when we look at them and we see them, they are products of us. whether good or bad. And that's why I say we can't live our lives vicariously through our children, because when they do great things, then you're all walking around with your chest all puffed out thinking, oh my gosh, you know, my son is a doctor and my daughter is a lawyer and a teacher and you know, they got all these awards and they did this and they did that and blah, 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 blah. But when you see your child on TV because they robbed an ATM machine and picked the thing up and unscrewed it from the ground, you don't want nobody to know that's your relative. You act like you don't know them. But you know them. And you know what? Maybe we didn't go get an ATM machine and unscrew it and figure out how to rob it and put it in a truck or something or whatever. But you know, when you went to the store and they said, chickens, 59 cents a pound, limit 3. And then mama got 3. Daddy got 3. The daughter got 3. The son got 3. And the baby got 3. You should have, it's like taking the ATM machine. I mean, they're watching everything that we do. When we come to church, and you know, it's like this, I'm saying it as nice as I can get it out. But you go to work every day. Whether you go to work at 7 a.m. or noon or 5, whatever time you have to be to work, you're there on time, right? Because if you don't go on time, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. You only get a few times. They've got a point system, or you get 3 tardies, and it turns into an absent, and then 3 absences, you're blah, blah, blah. The rules. You may not like them, but you follow them. And you honor them, because there's something that you want and you need, and that is a paycheck at the end of your pay period so you can live and take care of responsibilities. But when your children watch you get up every day and go to work and be there on time, you're not absent all the time, you're not late, because you know it's going to happen. If that happens, they're just going to get rid of you. But when it's time to come to church, you don't come to church. If you come to church, you come to church late. And then when you come, you forget, you drag in. You know what? That may not mean anything to you now, but they're watching you. And what you do, they will do. And when they go off to college and when they go off to do their, they're going to live the same way. And when you start calling them saying, baby, you need to get up and go to church. Now, didn't you go to church? Now you need to go to church. Remember, you taught them. We are the example of what they will do, whether it's coming to church, whether it's tithing, whether it's being involved. They do all those things. They're going to get involved in something. And what that something is what we put into them. Because if we're parenting and we're married and we're Christians and we're of Christ, then what we do needs to signify God every day, not just sometimes, not just when it feels comfortable to you or when you feel like you want to do it, but every day. Every day your life will be the Bible that some people will ever read. And when they read your Bible, what are they seeing? They need to see Christ, because just like when Megan married this guy, they had all these rules. She's not coming into there thinking, oh, I'm going to change this. They've been doing that for a long time. And she's not going to change that and get away with that real quick. There's going to be some trouble in the camp, because as long as the queen is alive, that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, when you go into it thinking you're going to change it, you marry somebody that don't go to church, that's not godly. Oh, I'm going to help him and be da, da, da. You just know you're not going to help him. You're not going to do, you're fighting an uphill battle. And sometimes that happens. But in between all that, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that nobody ever talks about. And if you're not spiritually mature to stand the test of time, then before you know it, you'll give out. You'll just give out. And so, I mean, I was talking to Pastor, and, you know, he was talking about the questions, and I said to myself, and I think I said to him, every question that anyone could answer, ask, they already know the answer to. But a lot of times people want you to give them permission to do things that they know they shouldn't be doing already. You already know you can't have nobody else's wife. You already know you can't have nobody else's husband. You already know you shouldn't be sleeping with nobody that's not your spouse. It's simple. As my friend said, read the script. Read the script. It didn't change. I don't care what the world say. I don't care what society say. You know, when you look at it, they flipped it. But guess what? They keep redoing it over and over and over again. Because every time they flip it, they just start back over and over again. And, I was reading in this, and I'm going to close with this. Because down at the bottom of this, he starts talking about being divorced. You know, it was never God's desire that any of us get a divorce. But it happens. Because we're human. So, it's not God's desire that we sin either. But it happens because we're human. But what does the word say? He gives us a way of escape. If we go to him, repent, ask God to forgive us for our wrongs, whatever it is that we've done. It says that he's faithful and just and will forgive us for all of our sins. So, you know, the enemy will try to hang condemnation on a person that's a believer. Well, you got a divorce. How could you be a Christian? You got a divorce. Well, you know what? You sin too, but you're still a Christian. Because God forgives us when we ask for forgiveness. So don't let the devil hang condemnation on your head, because it doesn't matter what state you're in, married, divorced, single, whatever. Things happen, you just run to the cross and ask God to forgive you and mean it, because that's what repentance means. It means that you go, you ask for forgiveness, you stop, you turn around, you go the other way. You don't keep doing the same thing you were doing over and over again. You can't repent and stay in the mud. You got to repent and turn around, ask God to forgive you. Turn from your wicked way. Go to the way of the cross. Do what you know is right. Ask God to help you and then live in that. Because that's where your victory is. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says, therefore there now is no condemnation from those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So when we ask God for wisdom and ask him for guidance and ask him to deliver us and ask him to help us and ask him to put us in the right place at the right time with the right people, great things happen. And when that happens, people say, oh, you were lucky. No, you weren't. You were just blessed, because guess what? You lived according to God's word. And that's what happens when we live according to the word. So it's easy to do the rules when you live according to the word. When you live according to the word, the rules become very easy, because it's not a hard taskmaster, because you're used to just following the word and you just do it, and it's just easy and it's just simple. Yes. And you don't be intimidated by other people that say, oh, well, we did such and such. Well, they're not telling you the whole story. It's like when our girls were young, and even BJ, you know, they go, well, why is it that our friends can get away with this and their parents? And I say, because they don't live at 4,400. We don't do it like that at 4,400. I don't care what they do over there. But over here, this is what we do. And the Bible says, you know, when your children get older, they'll call you blessed, because we were designed to be the parents, not the friends. And when you become the parent and not the friend, then one day you'll look back on that, and they'll look back on it, and they're going to say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for being my parent. They need you to be a parent, because they have enough people that are calling themselves friends that are not friends. They need a parent, and God gave you that charge. So that's why I say parenting isn't for cowards. You know what? You're not designed to be their friend today. You can be their parent today. And when they become adults and responsible adults and live on their own and can take care of their own business, now we can be friends. Because guess what? You don't live in my house. You got your own responsibility. You're doing your own. Yeah, we can be friends today, because you're an adult. You're a responsible adult. Amen? That's what it's all about. So we are the example to them. We are the example to the body. And It's not going to be easy every day, but we just do it because that's what we do. Amen. And we exemplify God, and we are the light of the world. So we live like that continuously every day. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for every person present. And Father, I just thank you for every marriage here today in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you that every marriage is covered in the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you are being glorified and that our lives and our marriage exemplify you and draw people to Christ. And it not only will it draw people to Christ, but it will draw our children to you, Father, that they see the love of Christ within us, that they want to love you more and more and serve you more and more every day. Father, help us to keep putting you first at all times and allowing you to lead our houses, our homes, our families, and everything that we do. And we thank you, Lord, that there's a hedge of protection around us right now in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise, Father God, and we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, that you give glory to yourself in each and every one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. Amen. Praise God.